Now, ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I'm your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue Food Truck and Catering in Sullivan. And as usual, in the studio is my co-host and producer extraordinaire, Colin Fisher.
Oh, I got a promotion.
Absolutely. That means, you know, 10% pay raise. You can join me every Saturday at 9 a.m. right here at Midmo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. And you can also find the podcast on Blog Talk, TuneIn, iTunes, and more. And, you know, as usual, if you got something you'd like to add or something you got a question or whatever, just give us a call or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9.
So what I've done there is I have linked the station phone number to that number. So now, instead of having a number to call and a number to text, anyone who calls, if you text, will get it through the BBQ-BBQ-9 number. But now if you call that number, it'll just ring straight to the station. So you can call us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9 and talk to us on air and say what you've got on your mind.
I sure am glad you did that. That's why you got the extraordinaire title behind your name.
Gotta earn it.
And you can also contact us on Twitter at Mid-Mo Smoke Show. This first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, family-owned and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934, and working with Peterson Oil is a blast, and this week I get to cater for them, so I'm even more excited. And today, our guest for today is Todd Hamilton, and he is with Timber Charcoal. And good morning, Todd.
Good morning.
And Timber Charcoal is a lump charcoal company?
Yes.
And so...
You talk about Peterson Oil being family-owned. That's another big aspect of Timber Charcoal, looking at their website, is since 1960, they've been a family-owned operation.
And see, that's the ones you want to see, you know, really grow.
Certainly.
Because... partly, they're in our state. They're considered our neighbors. And, you know, get out there and try this charcoal. Todd's going to explain some of the aspects and how to make it. And then we're going to go on to what his cooking experience is. And you may be really surprised when you really find out what's all involved in it. So, Todd, let's see. Break it down, I guess you could say, on how to make lump charcoal and what is the difference between lump and briquette.
Okay. Well, one thing we do is we select a mixture of Missouri Southern hardwoods. All of our woods probably within a 50-mile radius of our plant in Southern Missouri. So it's all local woods, mainly oak and hickory because that's the primary hardwoods in state of Missouri. We bring that in by the tractor trailer loads, probably 20 to 30 a week. And we have big drying yards where the wood sits out there and we cure it. Basically, we try to get as dry as possible before we make charcoal. 6 months to 2 years usually is how long it sits. And then after that period, we have large concrete ovens called kilns.
Right.
They'll hold about 4.5 tractor trailer loads of wood, or roughly about 140 tons of greenwood. And then after we get those completely filled, we literally set that on fire. There's a myth, or you can make charcoal without oxygen, or charcoal's made without oxygen.
Right.
And on small quantities, yes, it can be. But when you do large quantities on industrial scale, of course, wood will not burn without oxygen. So we literally do set the wood on fire.
Well, you're not wanting the wood to completely burn down.
No.
So,
no, what happens during the burning process, as the charcoal is made, we have air ports along the bottom of the kilns to let that air in. And as the fire moves, it moves to those air ports called drafts. And when those drafts get plumb full of the red-hot orange coals, like you see if you make a campfire or in a fireplace, we actually shut the air off at that port to start smothering it out, because at that point, we've baked all of the impurities, all the wood fibers, all the moisture out of the wood, and charcoal's left.
Okay. So that's why, you know, when you're using a lump, you don't have to really worry about, you know, having an extra bug in there or something when you light the fire.
Right. As long as the wood's completely burned. Now, if you don't give the wood long enough to burn, or the wood don't get completely burned, it's still not pure charcoal.
Well, how long would it take to build to burn up a kiln like that, you know, to where you can use it?
Right now, I think our burn time's about 3 days.
Okay.
And then we have a cooling process after we shut off all air to the kiln and we consider the burn finished. We let our kiln set another 7 to 10 days in cooling. And that's a long time compared to the large industry we're in, but we feel that letting it cool longer, we have less chance of a fire because we're trying to smother the fire out
right now.
And also, our charcoal's sitting in that kiln at lower temperatures, and more of the impurities bake out of it
okay, during
that cooling process.
Well, how many kilns have you got? Like you say, once you load it, it's got to be, you're looking at what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, it's probably 10 days, 2 week turnaround. We're up to 18 kilns.
Wow.
We finally expanded again at the end of 16, put on another bank. We have 3 banks of 6.
Okay.
And so we're at 18 right now.
And those aren't cheap to make either.
No, they're not cheap at all. That was one of the hard things to swallow about building another set.
So. Yeah. Well, and that's what some, a lot of people, they look at, briquettes and all this. Mm-hmm. I've used a hardwood, and I use it. And the reason I like it so much is when you get it started, I mean, some people complain about how hard it is to start. It's not. You use a chimney, you use a blowtorch, whatever. Fire starters, it's going to go.
Yeah.
But you get that natural wood flavor, which I think is a little less in the briquettes.
I would agree with what I tell people who's never used our lump is if you want the specific flavor of smoke wood, your apple, your pecan, your sassafras, hickory, whatever your flavor
right, of
the week is, basically, in my opinion. Our charcoal produces a really good, mild smoke flavor all on its own. A lot of times I'll smoke stuff and I won't even add chips or nothing.
Right.
It just has a good, clean flavor. Some lumps you get out there, if you run into a lump charcoal and if you're lighting it up, let's say, and you're getting a lot of white smoke during the lighting process, their charcoal really ain't pure charcoal yet. Because you got to consider, when you're burning wood, it puts off white smoke.
Right.
You're actually finishing the burning process for that charcoal company. Because if you got really good pure lump charcoal, it should almost instantly go to a nice, clean blue smoke.
Exactly.
Because that's basically what's left in good charcoal is carbon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is what you're buying. That's what you're burning.
Well, that's like in, I used to do competition cooking, and I have my own catering company.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will say, you can't hardly see the smoke coming out of the smoker. How do you know it's there? That's when you know you got a good fire.
Right, because it's burning nice and clean.
Right. And with the lump, if you want to add some flavors, I got pecan chunks that I can add to it. I like putting pecan with beef.
Yeah, I mainly stick to apple and hickory.
Yeah.
I've not found anything that it don't work with.
Well, Colin, he's into the pellet smokers.
Yeah, for my entry-level smoker, managed to find a nice used Pit Boss. And it's really great because I think it's fairly forgiving. It lets you kind of adjust that learning curve and still get some edible food along the way.
So you're the enemy now. So.
I guess so.
Well, he's still kind of a wood burner,
Yeah.
But that's what I like about the lump charcoal, too.
Yeah.
We talked earlier before the show came on. I can control the temperature so much better with lump than I can with briquettes because it's more of a hollow burn.
Yeah.
So more air gets to it.
The only issue I see with people having issues with lump, who's especially done briquettes for a long time, is they're used to having to let those briquettes get all burnt, all on fire. And, of course, when you do that with a really good quality lump, you get a really, really hot fire.
Yes, you do.
And, that's the biggest, I think, switchover people has is learning how big a fire you need in the world of lump. What I tell people is whatever your magic temperature is, whether it's 200 or 350, as soon as your smoker hits your magic number, shut your air down.
Yes.
Don't give it 5 more minutes because once, at least the smokers I've had experience with lump, once you hit 400, 350, if you have that happen, there's no cooling it back off.
No, you got to throw water in there.
And it still takes forever if you got very much lump on fire.
And it doesn't take as much. A lot of people say, well, okay, it's a 20-pound bag. It costs me more. But when you stop and figure you're only using half the amount of charcoal that you would compared to briquettes.
You're right.
It's a big difference.
Well, the big thing about briquettes is, you know, there's a place for them because lump charcoal with open air pits don't work really awesome because when you give lump charcoal unlimited air like we just talked about, it will burn hot.
Yes.
And it's going to burn fast because it's unlimited. But you're going to see temperatures probably 700 to 1,200 degrees off that fire pit.
And you're going to see pits melting down, too.
Right. So that's the beautiful thing about briquettes is they are engineered to only release so many BTUs per hour.
Right.
No matter how much air you get it, there's only so hot that briquette's going to get. And that there is a place for briquettes.
Well, I think the biggest thing, too, right now is they came out with these self-lighting briquettes.
Yeah.
Just throw a match, you know, in there. Everything's got its place, like you said. Some want a quick fire.
Yep.
But I want a fire that's going to make my food taste good.
Yeah, the instant light briquettes, my understanding is they're literally submerged in lighter fluid.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they bring it in by the truckloads.
And I don't like a lighter fluid taste.
No. No, I agree with that.
I mean, even when I use my chimney with the lump and I got my blowtorch, I've rigged up a tube that goes straight up into the charcoal.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take long to get it going.
I just use the instant starters you can find out there made out of alcohol, or there's even some out there made out of wood even.
Yes.
And I just set a couple of those under my pile of charcoal. I don't use chimneys anymore. And like you said, you either use a torch or I use a forced fan air. And 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, you got plenty of fire.
And I have seen something now. And I knew they would burn good, but, you know, they've taken tumbleweed buds. And then you put it in there.
Yep.
They burn real hot, real fast, and get stuff going real good.
Yeah, actually, I just used some of those. I couldn't remember what they're made out of, but I did use some of those a couple of weeks ago, and I was impressed. They were simple and efficient.
They're not expensive.
No.
You know, this probably wouldn't do the most good for your flavor, but my dad and I found out a while ago that dryer lint
is
quite flammable.
Yeah. Yep.
And actually, it adds no flavor.
No.
All right. Yep. Well.
I mean, and it burns hot.
Yeah, two birds.
That's it. And because you stop and figure, most of that is synthetic material in your dryer.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, you're getting your clothes dry, then your fire started.
Yeah, I mean, or, you know, it's just the small piece of fabric comes off your clothes, so it's already broke down pre-dried.
Right.
So it's highly flammable.
So now, let's get back to this when we're making the charcoal. Okay, well, we will hold on to that till after the break. We're going to have to take a quick commercial break. Coming up in segment two is our trip to the Royal. So we're going to see if we can get
Todd.
Todd. I had a complete brain fart, folks. Just bear with me. It's early.
Lyle's still trying to get his brain lit this morning.
Yeah, I'm thinking about ways to lighten my brain. So we'll get Todd to stick around after the Royal interview. We'll get him back. We're going to talk more about his cooking and his charcoal. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards program. So huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, any time. And we're going to go ahead and give a shout-out to Rhonda and Kathy that work at the Cuba Huddle House. They're a pair of sisters, and they've got a contest going on who can sell the most gift card. So go on in there, get your gift card, mention their name, and they've got a deal. If you're out Christmas shopping and you're running low on energy, go in and get a couple of those deep fried Oreo cookies. I'm going to tell you, they are just fantastic. So I bring them in one morning for us calling and get us going. We'll be bouncing off the walls doing the show. And so this segment, we're going to go back to the Royal. We are going to be interviewing the Plowboys, and they are characters, so we're just going to go ahead and get it started, and we'll be back in just a bit. All right. Hey, we're back now, and we now are talking to Plowboys?
Yeah.
Plowboys Barbecue, and Randy Hink is the pit master there. Randy, thanks for doing our show, and welcome.
Oh, glad to be here.
So we're going to just basically
in 12 minutes to your life story in barbecue.
Okay, well, I was a pork producer all my life until I went into full-time barbecue.
Okay.
Raised pigs, started my family farm, and then progressed up to 200 sows and 600 sows, and worked for some good people along the way, and then I had my own operation. And then we had a fire. I was in lease facilities. They decided to build back to keep me going, and then corn, the ethanol mandate came through. And corn went up to $7 a bushel. And lost about $20,000 a month for 6 months, and pulled the plug on it so we could save our house and the small property we had. So, anyway, then I went to work for a very good pork producer, and there was a place in Marshall, Missouri that sat empty that was known as the Barbecue Pit Stop. Drive through barbecue, and it sat empty for 8 months, and just kept tugging at my heart, and took a leap of faith, and it's worked out very well for us. So we do a mixture of barbecue, and we also do deep fried tenderloins and fried fish on Fridays. It's a town of roughly, I think, 13,000 people, and we have people that eat with us about every day.
Wow.
Because we have variety.
Yeah.
You know, straight barbecue, maybe they'll eat once, but they'll come on Tuesday for our deep, fried tenderloin special. We have them every day, but on Tuesday we have a special. Fridays only, we do a deep fried fish. We do 150, 60 pounds of fried fish every Friday. We're strictly drive through. We average 220, 240 tickets every Friday.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all.
That's humping.
Well, what made you get into competition cooking?
Well, being a pork producer, I got involved with our local and state organization.
Right.
Missouri Pork Producers and Lafayette County Pork Producers. Well, what do they do to raise money? They cook.
Uh-huh.
You know, we cook chops, we cook loins, and my parents never barbecued, but I just thought it was so cool.
Right.
And I was just fascinated with it. So next thing you know, I'm getting involved with every cook we have and kind of end up being the head cook, so to speak. And I was on the committee for the Missouri Pork Chop Place, or Missouri Pork Place, it's called now, which does a tremendous amount of volume. And so kind of learned that end of it. So that's how it all kind of started. Well, then to make things work, I started selling my own meat, had my own label, and then we started catering.
Right.
Well, to support all that, I guess we started competing first. My brother-in-law and I found Todd Johns, who has two restaurants in Blue Springs and downtown Kansas.
Right.
Anyway, he married my sister, and we found common ground through barbecue. So we did our first competition in a little town of Alma in 2001.
Right.
And we just kind of fell in love with it, kept growing. And Todd kind of took it to the next level. He had quite frankly, more time than I did to do more competitions, and he learned some really cool techniques. And in 2009, we won the American Royal Invitational.
Oh, wow.
And in a barbecue class, we had developed a rub called, we called it the Yardbird Rub. And they had a little mini contest at this thing, and we won first in chicken that day. Well, we had a rub we really liked for chicken, you know, just put it away, and well, one day I just got that recipe out and made it up again. I told Todd, you know, that stuff we made up was really, I cooked some chicken with it, was really pretty good. And he goes, well, I don't even have that recipe anymore. Can you email it to me? So I emailed to him. He made it up. He goes, man, that was pretty good. So we were on a barbecue forum called the Barbecue Brethren, which is a very good site, especially if you're just starting out.
Right.
And he offered, I don't know how many people, 20 people, 40 people, like 4 ounces or something. And he said, all I ask is give me an honest opinion.
Right.
What do you think? And these people are. They're good barbecue. And the reviews were very good. So he said, you know, I'd really like to go commercially with this. And I said, look, I got a 600 sow operation. I'm starting to do some catering. I'm selling my own meat. If you want to taste that, go ahead. Well, it's worked out very well.
Yeah, there you go.
So he developed a bovine bold rub.
Okay.
Also. And then he has a fin and feather. But Old World Spice is our blender and bottler on that, and it's totally Todd's deal. And they've been very good. Well, they decide what goes in Bass Pro Shop.
Wow.
And so right before the Royal that year, they said, Todd, we've never had a rub take off like this for us. We're thinking about putting Bass Pro Shop. Well, we won the Royal, so it's Katie Bar the Door.
Yeah.
And so it's been, you know, very good for for them and for Todd. And I think it's in Ace Lakes Hardware, and I don't know where all. I think local farm and home, Orslins here locally. I think they're carrying it now. So yeah, it's a the Yardbird Rub is a very good all-purpose. My wife eats it on her popcorn. You know, it's got multiple uses.
Wow.
Besides just, we use it on our pork and chicken in competition.
Well,
and
you know, speaking of competition, since you were a pork producer, does that mean that you are more leaning towards the pork products?
Oh, absolutely. Pork's got my heart. I used to hate chicken with a passion.
But that rub kind of changed things.
I raised that a little bit. I raised my kids at Chicken Kills.
But that rub kind of changed things.
I raised that a little bit. I raised my kids at Chicken Kills. But anyway, it's a restaurant. You know, it's a cheaper product. I started doing half chickens, and people just loved it. We had done a pulled chicken, and it was okay, you know.
Right.
But when I did the half chickens, they really loved it.
Now, do you do brisket in your restaurant, too?
We do brisket and burnt ends. I do smoke pork loin. A lot of restaurants don't have. It's not a big mover. That is the first thing I learned to smoke, and I'm trying to keep it on the menu as long as I can.
Well, them things are hard to smoke, too. You can dry them out fast.
Yeah. They're really not that hard, and there's, you know, you get them done in 2 hours.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I'd say, you know, if you want to start, you know, start with the pork loin. It only takes 2 hours. Learn to manage your fire and, you know, learn to control your pit.
Right.
Then you go on to bigger and longer things. But, you know, besides pork loin and chicken or, you know, whatever, and those are the quickest cooks. And, you know, learn really how to do that.
Yeah, they are. You know? See, I really like cooking the briskets.
Yeah.
I love cooking briskets.
I love eating them.
People think I'm nuts. You know, as long as it takes to cook them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? When you get the end result and it's working, when you look on people's face, you can see if it's working.
Right. The sad part is, from the business side, is what probably has the most flavor, what I can put on the plate, is our lowest profit margin item.
Oh, absolutely, you know, yes.
Because briskets have gotten so expensive.
Yes.
And, you can't charge. I mean, you need to charge $30 a pound to really make your margin, but nobody
will.
That, you know. But it is delicious. I mean, there's nothing like it. And our pulled pork's our number one seller, and which makes me proud.
Well, that's hard to beat, dude. Well, so are you in the Invitational or?
No, we haven't competed much. Todd with his two restaurants, mine, I'm kind of a one man. I mean, I got a very good crew, but as far as the cooking, I'm doing it all. I've got a young man that started that's showing some interest. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really hard for me to get away right now. So our business is growing. We're at that awkward state. I need to add another full-time guy, but can I afford it quite yet?
There you go.
You know, but we've been so blessed. I don't want to take a step backwards, you know.
Right.
But so we really haven't. I think Todd did one this spring. We just really don't have the time. But the Royal, over the years, we've developed so many friends, and they're all here.
That's right.
If they're not competing, they're here walking around to visit.
Right.
And where else can we go to do that?
Exactly,
know?
Yeah.
So, and the Royal's the Royal. I mean, it's the largest in the world. I mean, why not be a part of it if you're going to be, you know, in barbecue?
Well, I tell everybody, you know, when I say something about the Royal and they'll look at me and ask me what it is, I just tell them it's the Super Bowl of barbecue.
Yeah. I heard someone on another station this morning call it the Mardi Gras. You know, he said, not quite really, but it's big. It is huge.
And they have a few
parties.
It
is definitely the Super Bowl. I mean, the best of the best are here.
Absolutely.
And it is so competitive. I mean, things are split by 1,000, 10,000th of a point,
right,
a lot of times at the top. So, I mean, you know, some of these guys are out here 30, 40 weekends a year, you know, and winning, you know.
Right.
And you just wonder, I mean, that takes true dedication. That is doing things the same way every single time. And, you know, if you're starting out, you know, mess around on your own, but try and take a class from somebody that's proven. It'll save you years of trial and error.
Well,
you know, I'm not selling classes, but man, there's a lot of good ones out there, and you don't have to pay a lot of money. Some of them are expensive, and they're very intense, but, you know, find one, you know.
Right. Well, and you know, we've been, we keep updated every week about, we keep our listeners updated, the competitions that are going on. I cannot believe how the money has increased over the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's a very expensive hobby. A lot of them, it's a business anymore, but Yeah, you're talking $200-$300+ for entry fee plus your meats. Like I said, brisket is expensive.
Well, and not only that, the payback. You know, when you win, you're getting a pretty good chunk of change back too.
If you win,
yeah. Well, yeah. that's what everybody shoots for,
right,
you know. And
right.
It's just amazing how big they are getting on the circuit and stuff. I don't know what the payout here is at the Royal, but
well, they've advertised it to be the largest so far, but I have not heard a number.
I haven't either.
And KCBS is trying to do a granddaddy one in February down in Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I don't know a lot about it because we don't compete a lot, so we wouldn't qualify. You have to qualify and win a contest.
Well, what I heard, too, that one in Arkansas, they're taking the reserve champion, too.
Are they?
Yes.
Very good. Because sometimes it is so close.
Yeah.
What I hate sometimes is a division between first place money or grand champion money and reserve.
Right.
You know, it could be $1,000, $2,000 difference, and sometimes it's just a hair split.
Well, I've heard, too, that there's people coming in from all over the world to that one in February.
Yeah. I hope so.
And we're planning on going down there and seeing what it's all about. So
I would love to.
Well, I want to thank you a lot for coming by and talking with us. Right. And, you know, we're a little show. We're trying to get started. And so have fun.
I will. And I appreciate you taking the time and spreading the word because we need to get it out there.
Oh, we love it.
Because we love when I get friends here today first time and they're just blown away, you know. So
it's our first time to be here, so we've had a good time. So
very good.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back.
The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. Or you can go online at ESPN1073.com. I am your host, Lyle Quast, co-host Colin Fisher. And What's New in Barbecue is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And
so KCBS actually has an awards banquet and dinner. It's their... So I can tell they copied this over from when they did the 32nd because it's 33 and as opposed to the 33rd. But it's it'll be January 18th and 19th of 2019. It's at the Argosy Casino Hotel and Spa. It'll be a Friday night party. And let's see, there's $10 spots are limited. The menu, they've got a salad, entrees, a petite filet with wine demi/bacon-wrapped diver scallops. There's a banquet dinner, $60 for per person or $600 for a table of 10.
Makes sense.
Yeah, basic math. and then, naturally, your hotel reservation. But you can go to kcbs.us and check out details on that if that's something that someone's interested in going to. And I imagine just the food alone would probably end up being worth your $60.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, with the diver scallops.
Sure.
And stuff. And, you know, it's the end of the year for them. So, you know, that's where somebody's going to pick up Team of the Year. And I'm going to keep quiet because I don't want people to get mad at me, but I got a hunch I know who's going to win Team of the Year.
Place your bets.
Yeah, let's get on to wheel and roulette. Roulette wheel or whatever. So we are back here now with Todd Hamilton, and we are talking, or should we announce our winner of our contest in this?
You know what? It's Alan Pullman who texted in, and it's almost by default because he was more or less the only fellow who texted in. So Alan, and then Mr. David Johnson, one of our more loyal listeners for a while. We have not forgotten about you. We're going to take care of you as well on this run, and we'll get you guys some hats, some shirts, and maybe a bit of charcoal as well.
Well, we're gonna bring Alan in next weekend, last weekend before Christmas, and we'll give him his Christmas present from us, so to speak.
Makes sense.
Take some pictures and that. And, you know, I know the guy. I kept it a secret because I didn't want anybody to be biased. But he looks a lot like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
The only thing is he cannot wear them white tennis shoes with them lime green laces when he comes in because we will be blinded. So, Alan, we're going to get you in here next weekend. We'll get you your prize package and stuff. And now we'll continue talking about the charcoal. And, you know, Todd not only makes the charcoal, he uses it too. And you do a benefit down there for the fire department at your in your town, isn't it?
Yeah, where we are, or we're middle of nowhere, really, Missouri, so there's not in the town.
Oh, okay. Well, you got a post office, don't you?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, okay, well.
We don't even have a stoplight, so.
Well, that's a place to party then.
Yeah, pretty much. It's middle of nowhere. People call it God's country, so I guess it is. So.
Right.
But yeah, we started, of course, we're underfunded like most volunteer organizations are, so. I think we're going on 9 or 10 years. We started a barbecue fundraiser, and it's kind of outpaced what we thought it would be. I think this past year we've done about 260 pounds of meat, ranging from 1-pound pork steaks, baby back ribs, pork butts, and brisket. And it's just kind of keeps growing every year.
Well, I know cooking them baby backs is a whole lot different than cooking a full slab.
Yeah.
It's a lot more labor intense, really, because you got to keep an eye on them.
Yeah, that's one thing is we've learned from trial and error, and me being in the charcoal business, I have some contacts with some really top teams out there, and I ain't going to lie. I've got tips from them.
Well, there ain't no problem with that.
No. And it's just kind of grown. The brisket has – we started brisket about 5 years ago, and it's really one of our top sellers. I think we've done about 90 pounds of brisket last year, and considering we're only serving for 5 hours that day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what that's like with a food truck. But so is there any secrets you can give the listeners? Okay, you're using the lump charcoal compared to a briquette.
Right. I use lump, and on that fundraiser, I do mix in hickory and apple. Those are the two smoking woods I prefer. I really haven't found any meat it don't work with.
Right.
Beyond that, you know, as we were talking off there, I keep rubs simple. I'll be honest. I use Montreal steak seasoning and applewood on everything pork. People like it. It's simple. I believe in using apple juice to help add moisture. It works.
Spritz it down. Keep it moist.
Spritz it down. The biggest thing I've learned in smoking is the prep of the meat.
Yes.
That's the fun part is trimming the briskets correctly. Like me and you talked before, hours of fun.
Yeah, well, and people don't realize when you're doing that how long it takes to get everything ready, you know.
Yeah.
And the one thing I tell people, too, and I don't know about how you do yours, but when I'm going to inject, I want the meat as close to room temperature as possible because then it's pliable and it'll take injection.
I've never tried the injection, but, yeah, we usually try to bring our meat in on a Wednesday evening. We start prepping the brisket and the pork butts on a Thursday night because we're doing this, of course, in all of our free time. And we start smoking on Friday because we serve on Saturday.
Right.
And, yeah, I think last year I had almost 30 hours involved.
Oh, easy.
Easily, yeah.
Yes.
For 1 6-hour event.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, and you know, like we talked off the air, our both favorite thing is pulling the skin on the ribs.
Yep.
You know. And people are probably out there thinking, what are you talking about? But it's that inside skin that's on the ribs. There's that you pull that off so the flavor gets everywhere. And it makes a big difference on the toughness or tenderness of them, too.
As I tell people, if you've ever been to a rib and you pull away and there's this white-gray thing on the back of the bone that you couldn't chew through, that is the piece of skin or lining, what I was told. And it's kind of like, if you're a fisherman, kind of like skinning catfish, you got to get corners tarded and get a grip on it. And you just rip it off.
You use a lot of paper towels because that's the only way you can hold on to it.
Sometimes it comes real easy, and sometimes it ain't going to come at all.
That's the interesting. Whenever I've read a recipe or something that calls for that, they'll say use, you know, a knife or maybe a screwdriver if you've got it handy.
A fork works really good, too.
Fork does to get it started.
Yep.
But I've bent a few forks trying to get that skin started, too.
You know, and on my baby backs, one secret I picked up from a guy was after I flipped them over and I got the lining off, I tenderized between the bones with a fork.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, just because if you think about it, you know, it's just like a tough piece of beef. They tenderize it by poking it with spikes. Well, that just it's amazing because it takes usually about 3 punches per set rib to go down the length of the ribs. You can feel it getting tender every punch. It makes a big difference.
And you figured that baby backs are a lot closer to the loin, which means that, you know, you got to be careful. Get that flavor in there. Get the spritz in there and stuff. And there is a lot of little tricks. I mean, like I said, I'd like Colin to come with me next year when I do the Fireman's Award Banquet and see what all we go through. he may just throw up his hands halfway through and say, I didn't sign on for this.
Oh, like I said, I've been invited to go out with teams and go to competitions, and I'm just like, my hats are off to you guys. I do the one big event a year, and I'm kind of over barbecue for a while. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to eat it, and I sure don't want to do it.
Well, it's we've said this, too, before and had some of the top teams tell us, too. In barbecue, you either love it or just want to eat it.
Yep.
When it comes cooking, there's no halfway, because if you do that, you're not going to like it anyhow.
Nope.
And when you can put your heart and soul, listen to you talk, I can tell you're fairly passionate about this fundraiser and stuff.
Well, yeah, for our fire department, it's our lifeline. We're just small volunteer. We are a district, but we protect a lot of trees, so there ain't much tax money for that.
Yeah.
But I've been there for 23 years, so it's a passion.
Well, and you got the passion for making the charcoal, or you still wouldn't be there.
Yeah, basically my life plays with fire 24/7. One way or another, I'm dealing with fire. And I've been watching charcoal kills burn since I was 11 years old. So
yeah,
it's a family-owned business. We're actually into our fourth generation at this point. So how much longer it has, who knows? You never know.
You never know.
It's not an easy, clean way to make a living by any means. No, it's not.
But you know what? It's a very satisfying way, because you can stop and think, I produced that charcoal. Yep. They're getting some great food out of this. So I had hand in it, yep.
In charcoal making, we're seeing a lot of imports hit American soil in the last – all forever, but last 2 years, there's a lot being imported. I mean, you have Argentina now, you have Mexico, there's some Ukraine charcoal coming in.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I mean, I get emails from customers and just other people telling me about them, and we actually get emails all the time for people wanting to supply us imports. I mean, in the world of charcoal making, America, I think, makes less than 10% of all world's charcoal.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very small scale.
And when you stop and think, basically, barbecue started here in America.
But these other countries, they use it for everyday cooking. They use it for heating.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a way of life.
Right.
So, they have a lot more uses.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I stick to American made.
Yeah. I mean, there is a big difference. I mean, some people love the imports. I mean, it's definitely cheaper. I mean, I won't lie. What we make, we don't sell for cheap, because we go to a lot of trouble to make a good quality charcoal, we feel. And
well, you were talking off air about the purity standards that you guys get.
Yeah, I mean,
Pure Air Act.
He was talking about the purity of the carbon in the charcoal. We have it tested on the low side. Ours tested in the low 90s, and on the high side, it usually hits 96% pure carbon.
Right.
So it's going to burn hot, clean.
Right.
And, a lot of the imports I've seen, I've had people complain about, they put off a lot of white smoke. And as we've talked, the white smoke means they didn't finish the burn process.
Sure, because you were talking about how you guys give it that extra time to cool down, and that continues to bake out some of the impurities. I can't imagine that, if other American companies aren't doing that, that some of these import, high-quantity, low-price brands are going to be going to that extra trouble.
Right, and one thing we've always had an issue with in packaging is the other competition out there, they could always get more bags per pallet and still ship them on trailers. And we're like, how's that possible? And then we actually had some of them come in our plant just to load on ours and move on. And we got looking at them, and I actually done some business with some of the companies. And basically, since you don't bake as pure, it's a higher density because you have more wood fibers. So you actually get less charcoal in the bag.
Yeah.
Because carbon ain't really that heavy.
No, it isn't.
No, and our 20-pound bag's usually larger than most people's.
And usually they got some pretty good chunks in there, too.
And, and that's a big thing I hear complaints about, is we want all big stuff or we want all small stuff. In the world of making charcoal, the thing is, especially when you make really good charcoal, it's brittle.
Right.
It breaks easy. So you're going to get all different kinds of pieces.
And, you can also tell the quality of your charcoal, your lump, by listening to it when it comes out of the bag.
Yes.
The sound it makes.
If it makes a metallic ting or it sounds like crystal, that means it's very high carbon.
Yes.
And that tells you if you got a good charcoal. And that's why I tell people, if you can pick up a good piece and snap it in half pretty easy, you have pure charcoal.
Yes.
If you can't snap it in half, if you're having to really hit it or break it with something, and you got any kind of brown tint in there, you still have wood fibers left.
Yes. And like I said, I can tell instantly by just listening to the sound of it.
Yeah, I mean, like I explained to you off air, that 95% carbon, we actually get the colors of violet colors of metal in it. So,
okay, well, I guess we're getting close. We're going to have to take another break. We're going to keep Todd around a little bit. And in the next section, we're going to have our recipe of the week. So you're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
This is the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. I'm your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is brought to you by Wind Supply and Rolla, offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers, Milwaukee tools, and yummy tummy barbecue sauce. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And it's time for our recipe of the week, and this is brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years, and it's available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And we actually have the owner for Timber Charcoal. And Colin, what have you picked out for our recipe of this week?
So if anybody listened last week, we talked about how Hanukkah was coming up, so I found us a Hanukkah brisket, and you can go back to ESPN1073.com/MidMoSmokeShow, and you can find links to all of the recipes that we've done. And I found an interesting article from SmokedBarbecueSource.com on 9 leftover brisket recipes. So if you happen to have any leftover brisket from a big cook or something like that, these are some things that you can do with it. And the first one caught my eye. It's a brisket grilled cheese.
That actually sounds really good.
Yeah, it really does. So you're going to need 8 slices of Italian bread or Texas toast, some butter, a cup of heaping shredded cheddar cheese, 1 cup of heaping shredded Monterey Jack cheese, and 2 to 3 slices of leftover brisket shredded. So you spread about 1/2 tablespoon of butter on each piece of bread. To make a sandwich, place a piece of bread buttered side down. Cover the unbuttered side with shredded cheddar cheese, then a layer of brisket, followed by a layer of shredded Monterey Jack cheese. Place another piece of bread unbuttered side down on top. Repeat for remaining sandwiches. Heat a pan, preferably cast iron, over medium heat. Cook 1 or 2 sandwiches at a time until golden brown on both sides and cheese is melted.
Yeah, I was just sitting there thinking, I was off in la-la land. You know how when you see these commercials where guys are off?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, you know what else would help that? Maybe a little bit of jalapenos on there. Or some yummy tummy barbecue sauce dip on the side.
Yeah, and what's simpler than a grilled cheese? So
yes.
This is, once again, like most of our recipes, a great foundation that you can build off of and make your own.
And a bowl of tomato soup sitting in front of you, too. So there you go.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's hard to read these recipes while you're drooling.
Well, we got your bib on the way, you know. And so, you know, it takes a very little time to come up with a real good, tasty, you know, leftover.
Sure. Yeah.
I hardly have leftover brisket, which when I'm lucky to have it, it's just, I mean, I just as soon just make me a plate, warm it up, and just eat it with nothing else.
See, because that's what my dad will do. He just did a huge brisket. He sent me a picture of it, and it looked like, you know, maybe a decent size of meat on a cutting board. But then he reminded me how big his cutting board is. He has like a 36-inch cutting
there
board.
You go.
And I was like, oh, my. And so he will just make tons of it. And winter break, so my siblings and I will be coming home from school. But usually, it's just him and my mom. And my mom has to travel a lot, so she's out of town sometimes. So he'll just have like 8 meals in a row of brisket or pulled pork or whatever he's made.
And you don't get tired of it either.
Oh, no.
And, you know, I know he's got that new Smoke Boss.
The Pit Boss.
I'm thinking Mr. Fisher needs to make a trip to Rolla with a brisket in his hand.
Yeah, well, he sent me a picture of it this morning, and I'm sitting there like, oh, my gosh. And I'm heading home this afternoon.
Oh,
and
there you go.
Well, the trouble is we're smoking it. It's for tomorrow.
It may not make it that long.
Yeah, that's one of those where you really learn about the virtue of patience.
Well, you know, that's one thing when I do a brisket. a lot of people wonder why I have a sharp knife out there by the smoker. They think it's so I can cut into the, you know, and see. It's to cut into a brisket, all right, but there are ulterior motives there. I got to test this, you know. That's why chefs have the ability to get full before anybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
So, well, we've only got a few minutes here, Todd. Is, you know, I really appreciate you coming down and let us know, because you informed me on some stuff I did not know about how charcoal's made.
Yeah.
And
I think with anything that you're using, learning how it's made, and especially with something that is one of these more premium products, these high-quality products, learning about the extra effort and care that goes into these sorts of things, I think
absolutely
really helps you justify spending that extra money to get that extra quality.
And, you know, we give tours at our plants even, and I always do it because I want people to realize there is a difference between briquette and lump and just the trouble we go to. You know, one thing I didn't mention in that process is what's really mind-blowing about what we do. It takes about 6 tons of green wood to make 1 ton of charcoal.
Right.
Because we're removing all the wood fiber, we're removing all the moisture, so that weight disappears quickly.
Exactly. And, you know, that the old saying, you know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like when you were talking earlier.
Yeah.
A Wagyu brisket is a whole lot more expensive than a choice brisket.
Right.
But you're getting the best there is.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you go in the store and you see the price, don't think nothing of it. You're using half the amount, so it goes longer. You're getting a better quality.
Right. And, you know, we talk about, because there are all sorts of conversions you can do. You can go by weight, by volume.
Right.
Combine that and you get density. And then if you talk about your BTUs from the carbon content and all those sorts of things, there's a bit of complex math that can go into actually figuring out your per dollar value here. But I'm sure if you sit down and really break it down, you're going to get an equal or better value
exactly
out of timber charcoal as some of these, you know, off brands, so to speak.
And once you use a good quality hard lump charcoal, you will not go back to briquettes because the flavor's there.
Right.
The
you
heat
get
there,
spoiled.
The ease of controlling the temperature is there. You will not believe how much it's going to make barbecue fun again. Plus, there's time there to sit there and have a cold one or a warm one if you're doing it in the wintertime, which I have been known to do.
Yep.
Well, I'm going to have to wrap things up. The Mid-Mo Smoke Show is heard live every Saturday morning from 9 to 10. And this show is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios in Rolla, Missouri, and engineered by Colin Fisher. I'd like to thank my guest today, Todd Hamilton. And you really opened our eyes, and I really appreciate it, Todd.
Well, I thank you for having me.
And so don't forget, you can listen to a podcast of this show. Go to our website on ESPN1073.com. Click Programming and Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and thanks for joining us. Until next week, we'll smoke you later.
You've been listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast. Saturdays from 9 till 10 a.m. on ESPN 107.3.